Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 1076. This is your host, Danny, and we have a nice show for you guys and gals listening to this podcast worldwide. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just go to your favorite podcast platform and search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, and also share it to your friends. And if you can also post a review, that will help us out a lot too. All right. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail episode or segment, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a pretty cool show for this podcast. All right, so Paris recorded an interview about Watchdog Legions. He recorded this a couple days ago. We're going to put it on this podcast. Also, Mandy sent me a review of Kirby Fighters 2 for the Nintendo Switch. Her full review about the game. All right, so before we start the episode here, I would like to say a few things. Look, if you follow me on Twitter, or if you're part of our Discord channel, which is discord.gg/GTR, that's discord.gg/GTR, I'm always giving out codes, free giveaways, free beta codes. Yesterday, I gave out codes for Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, which this game just recently came out. And it's out now for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. You can play this game offline multiplayer, up to four players. Of course, this also is enhanced if you have the PlayStation 4 Pro console. And I gave these codes out to our listeners. And there's a couple of people already that downloaded it and they're loving the game. So if you follow me on Twitter, that's GODFREE, or on Discord, which is discord.gg/GTR, you could have an opportunity to get codes. And I gave out multiple codes of Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. So if you have the game, let us know. Give us a call on fan mail and we'll play it on the podcast and let us know. Look, my nephew's been playing it nonstop because my brother just called me a couple days ago just to tell me that my nephew loves the game. Loves it. I haven't had the time to play it so far. I have it on my Xbox. Hopefully, I could play this once everything slows down over here, because I'm working on a couple projects and I am excited to play it because I love the old school Crash Bandicoot game. So I gave about some codes for Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War Beta. This is for the PlayStation 4. You don't need to pre-order. All you have to do is redeem this code or multiple codes, which I've been doing that now on Discord. Make sure to join in. But I'm going to give out a couple codes here for our listeners here. Let me see if I can find. You know, I'm going to mention two codes for you, the listeners. I think that would be awesome for you, right? So here's the first one. This is your opportunity. If you have a PlayStation 4, this is your opportunity to download this and play it starting Thursday, October 8th. All the way to the 12th, and again when it's going to be available for PC, Xbox One, and also again PlayStation 4. So the code is CCKFEPNJGEBH. And let me give you another code here. This is for another one. If you missed this one, there is another one. Here it goes. 4LAL 6PNAKEG 2. That's it. Redeem this code through your PlayStation 4 and download the beta of Call of Duty. Let us know what you think. And now, let's play the interview about Watchdog Legions. And after that, we're going to play the review of Mandy, reviewing Kirby's Fighter 2, and we're going to wrap up the show.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I recently had the opportunity to play Watch Dogs Legion, and I got some questions. So who better to answer those questions than the game director, Kent Hudson? Thank you for joining me on this quick interview about Watch Dogs Legion.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I got a chance to play yesterday, and I hadn't played it since the last time we were actually physically were able to be together at an E3. And the game's changed for sure. And it's changed in a good way. And I just full disclosure, I am an open world sandbox junkie. I love this genre. I love these type of games. So the first thing that jumped out to me with Watch Dogs Legion is like, wow, this is London. Like, one thing that really brought a smile to my face was I stayed in a hotel over by Big Ben, and I just happened to go down this street, and I go, wait, I know this street. I know exactly where I am. And it's like, wow, this is truly London, you know, where I was in the sandbox. So let's just start with the open world of London. What went into the idea that, how one-to-one did you guys go as far as trying to recreate the city of London?
Yeah, it's interesting. We've actually had, when we have journalists who, like, you know, lived in London, we found that, you know, when they navigate around to certain missions where we say, oh, this is up in Camden, or oh, this is in Southwark or whatever, they don't look at the map, they don't use the GPS, they're like, oh, I can get there. And they just they just take the streets because they recognize it. So it's not one-to-one in the sense of, like, the geographical scale, you know, kilometer to kilometer. Instead, it's basically sort of, you know, putting together the highlights and the main landmarks you'd expect to see, and the shape of the city and the shape of the Thames. And, you know, here's where Big Ben is, here's where the London Eye is, here's where all those things are. And then sort of compressing the spots that are, you know, not what the audience is going to recognize as much, and then trying to, you know, keep the spirit of all the roads and the layout and the networks. So it's a very faithful recreation, but it's not necessarily one of these, you know, one-to-one, mile for mile type of representation. So we've tried to really capture the spirit, and it sounds like, at least in your case, we did all right. So
yeah, happy to I think you that. Did. Yeah, definitely think you did. I was very impressed with what I got to see. So again, this is the open world sandbox of Watch Dogs Legion. And I think my first question, real question, is when I was playing, obviously is the recruitment system that's in the game. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the unique thing that you're bringing here with Watch Dogs Legion. And my main question comes down to this. So I ran through a few different recruitment missions. I did some of the main mission stuff. And I ran into some scenarios where I was being a dum-dum and my character died and was quote unquote arrested and taken away for a while. So this kind of brought up the question for me, how important is it as far as when I'm recruiting characters for specific missions that have specific perks? Let's say a key character does get arrested and is taken away from me for a while. You can recruit anyone at any time. That was one of the more unique things that I saw as I traversed through the world. So not every character is going to have that specific perk that you're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. But I also noticed that there's an edit button in there with these recruited characters. So how deep dive into the RPG and perk system do we go as far as, can I literally create the perfect recruit for me out of anybody that I recruited? If that makes sense, to where if I need these specific perks for this particular mission, can I basically create that character, or is it someone that I have to just explore the world and try and recruit again?
So it's a bit of a mixture. You know, when you're going around the world and you're profiling the different people you see around the city, and you see what pops on their profiler, that's who they are. That's immutable. So if there's a specific ability you like, if you really like, you know, if you're a stealth player and you like the light step ability that, you know, reduces your footstep sounds, then you need to find somebody who's got that ability. Right. That said, you know, we have 6 gadgets in the game that have 2 upgrades each. And so you can really customize your characters via what gadget you assign them. You know, people don't have gadgets on them, so when they join DedSec, you assign them. And then you can also change that later. If you, you know, buy a new gadget later and you say, oh man, this would really go well with my character who's got that. You can hop into your team app, boop, 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 edit, switch it over, and you can change how your characters play that way. And you can also do a similar thing with weapons. You know, there's the four DedSec weapons, which are the non-lethal weapons that everybody in DedSec has access to. So you can always create any combination of those four weapons on your characters, but then also characters in the world who come with weapons, you can also mix and match those within the same class. So it's kind of interesting as you recruit people in the world who have weapons, and those can be lethal or non-lethal weapons. We have a bunch of non-lethal weapons in the world as well. Those can actually go into, you know, I kind of call it the arsenal. It's not really a player facing term, but you know, if you've got three characters on your team who have access to three different assault rifles, then you can mix and match between those characters, whichever ones you want. So you can kind of customize your weapons and customize your gadget. But if you're looking for, you know, some of the very specific abilities that come on people, then you need to spend your time recruiting and find those abilities in the world.
That's awesome. So one of the fun things that I discovered in the game is the mission structure. So despite this being an open world and you have your various side quests and other things that you can do, I just noticed some of the missions that I was doing, there was definitely some unique puzzle elements there, and they really embraced just the spirit of what Watch Dogs is all about, as far as you having to really dig into your toolkit, so to speak, and the hacking skills and things like that. So the example, there was one, and I didn't complete this because I said, okay, I'm running out of time, I better go do something else. But there was one where I had to get into a room that was at the top of this building, and I could take the drone up there. I could totally see it. I could scan it. I could get my spider bot in there, but I had to physically get to this box, so to speak, right? I couldn't figure it out. I could not figure it out at all. And then I was like, okay, I'm running out of time. I better go do something else. But that actually excited me because it's going to show some of the complexity that you're going to have in the mission structure. So I don't know if you can talk about that really quick, just kind of some of the various tools that you'll be able to use as far as hacking and just maybe even some of the puzzle elements that people can expect in the missions.
Sure. Yeah. So one of the, you know, one of the guiding principles that we had from the very beginning of the game, excuse me, I need to get a little water. Hold on. So one of the, you know, one of the elements we had from the very beginning of the game was what we call freedom of approach. And we really want this to be a game you can play your way, no matter what that is. And that goes not only into who you recruit on your team, how you kit them out, but also the way we design the levels. So I bet, you know, in that scenario you were describing, I don't know which one it was, but I bet if you'd gone around the other side of the building, you might have found like a window washing unit that you could hack and drop all the way down and then hop on it, hack it again, ride all the way to the top of the building and hop off and be on the roof. But, you know, you could also get your construction worker, get the cargo drone. You know, you can hack, you can spider bot, you can camera hop around and maybe download keys without ever entering the location. So there's all that stuff. But we really try to do, like, you know, we support stealth, we support run and gun, we support hacking, we support, you know, like exotic play styles with some of our, you know, characters like the beekeeper, or, you know, if you look long and hard, you can find a stage magician who can actually sort of hypnotize people. And like, there's some pretty fun Easter eggs in the game with some of the characters we put in. So, but it really is important to us. You know, we also have this 360 approach that we apply to our levels so that it's never going to be like a linear structure where you go in this front door and you go to bop, 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 cutscene, 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 and come out the end. It's always, okay, this is the front, but, you know, I bet around back there's a, you know, a scissor lift. And if I go on the other side, there might be a spider bot vent. And if I get in the spider bot, I can unlock the door and come in the front. So we really put a lot of effort into the 360 approach as well.
Yeah, and that's totally awesome. And that's really, you know, I'm glad you said that, because that's what excited me about it, that even though I didn't complete it, I could tell that there was going to be so many different ways and options that I'd have to complete the mission. So that really excites me, especially in this kind of open world sandbox world. God, I'm repeating myself, but it was Dogs Legion. But one final thing, because I know we're limited on time, I kind of wanted to look more at the technical aspects of what you're doing with Watch Dogs Legion. So obviously it's coming to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. We know on PC, especially with NVIDIA coming out with these new 3000 series cards, it's going to embrace ray tracing, I believe DLSS as well. I never say that correctly. But even on the console side, with these next-gen consoles, with PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X coming out, can you talk a little bit about some of the more, quote-unquote, enhanced features that those next-gen consoles will be able to take advantage of?
Sure. And you know, full disclaimer, Latish probably knows a lot more of the low level nitty gritty details. So, you know, I'd invite you to check with him as well. He might know some of the more technical stuff. But yeah, I can totally say that like both PS5 and Xbox Series X and S, I guess we have to say both of those now, both of the next gen platforms, they have, you know, they support the full ray tracing just like you find on PC, which looks gorgeous, I think. You know, we take advantage of the SSDs on both of them. So your loading times and, you know, when you fast travel around the city or whenever you load into the world for the first time, the loading times are dramatically improved. It also allows us to stream faster, you know, when you're driving around the world, which is great. On the PS5, we've got the you know, sort of enhanced 3D audio support, which is awesome. We actually are on the PS5. I was in the studio maybe a couple of weeks ago, checking out the haptic feedback on the PS5 controller, which is really, really cool. You know, the way that it makes it, the shooting mechanics feel is cool. So, so ray tracing, better load times. Obviously the games are going to run in 4K. And in general, you know, we have actual strike teams at work that try to sort of dial in the visuals and the experience on each platform. So it's not just the resolution boost. You know, I was in the studio a couple of weeks ago and the team was there, you know, dialing in the Xbox Series X rendering to be like, okay, here's the HDR. Okay, we're going to do the, you know, depth of field like this. We're going to enhance the contrast over here. And they're really trying to, like, you know, dial in the color blending and all that stuff. For each platform to just try to get the most out of it as we can. So, you know, when you play on next gen, it's going to be a great experience. And, you know, we're also doing the thing. I'm sure there's an official term for it. I don't know what it is, but we're doing the thing where if you buy the game on PS4 or Xbox One and then later buy one of the next gen consoles, then you get the free upgrade. So that's going to be awesome for players too, because if you don't get one at launch and you play the game, you know, on PS4 and then later buy a PS5, then, you know, your copy's going to transfer over. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, excellent. And then just last thing, and Watch Dogs Legion is out actually before the next gen consoles.
Yes,
October,
it is.
October 29th, I believe.
October 29th for, yeah, PC and current gen. And then next gen will be there on launch day.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to me about Watch Dogs. Like I said, playing it was a blast. I just love the sandbox to be able, and I even have to say one last thing. I drove around like a maniac. We didn't even get to talk about any of the vehicles or anything in that, but I just love the fact that even while you're driving, you're still able to hack other cars. You're still able to interact with the world that way. And it was a lot of fun. I think people are going to be in for a pleasant surprise when they check it out on the 29th.
Oh yeah. And next time you're driving, throw the game in auto drive. You can have the cars drive itself around. It's a great way to have like a tourist mode and just profile people on the street while your car kind of nicely drives around the city. You get to see the sights, you get to check people out. It's a fun kind of relaxing way to actually play the game. So give that a shot next time you try.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And Kent, can you let everyone know when they can play Watch Dogs Legion and where?
Yep. We'll be out on October 29th on Xbox One and PC and PlayStation 4. And then for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S, we will be out on launch day.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
What is up, everyone? This is LadyLuck34 chiming into Gamertag Radio today to give you a review of Kirby Fighters 2 for Nintendo Switch. The game is published by Nintendo and developed by HAL Labs, and you can get it right now on the Switch as a downloadable title for $19.99. Now, first off, thanks to Nintendo for providing a review code so we can get that out of the way. And then to just start from the very beginning, it's Kirby's and more Kirby's with the ability to fight each other. I would consider this something like a Smash-like game in the sense that it is a $20 game. It does primarily feature variations of Kirby with a couple of other characters like Meta Knight. And you do have a few different game modes. So, of course, there is a story mode. You're fighting through floors on a tower. The base story mode is about 4 chapters and 60 levels. And I'd say that takes a couple of hours to complete. There is a kind of bonus chapter that's more of a challenge. But in terms of actually like completing their little mini story and getting the game credits and what have you, that happens in the first 4 chapters. They have what they call a single-handed mode, which is essentially you pick a character, you pick a difficulty, it's a timed mode, and you're trying to get through 9 levels of combat as quickly as you can. They, of course, have a local play, they have online play, and then they just have like a basic combat for, you know, couch co-op. Up to 4 people can play, and I'd say, like, overall, I enjoyed it. I felt like they had some interesting little additions to the game that made it work for the theme of Kirby. I definitely had some frustrations because there were times where I really wanted it to play like Smash, and it didn't in the same level of depth as I expected with that variety of characters. Having said that, they do offer a number of Kirbys that you would expect to see. So there's, like, you know, Knight Kirby, who has a sword and he kind of looks like he's wearing a hat with Link. And there is a Yo-Yo Kirby, who obviously has a yo-yo and he makes me think of Ness. So there's a couple of ways in which the controls were a little frustrating in terms of like running and sprinting. The way in which you really only have one button that's an attack. And then you're really just doing combos with the joysticks and that. And then a few other things that was like frustrating when you tried to like, you know, eat a star or things like that. But overall, I'd say primarily enjoyed it and just had like minor moments of frustration. So a couple things to call out. We have a comeback mechanic. Kirby, if you die in a battle, will become a ghost and you have an opportunity, so long as your buddy or your teammates are still alive, to hit an enemy and come back with a portion of your health. It is an actual health bar. So in Smash, you're typically seeing a percentage. With this game, you're seeing a health bar with a number so you can actually keep track. I mean, like, the names are funny, you know, Sword Kirby, Yo-Yo Kirby, you know, Parasol Kirby running around with this umbrella. And so as you're playing through, there's a couple of different things. When you're playing through story, you accumulate points based on how quickly you complete the level and any kind of special things that you do or don't do during that level. And those points are associated with the chapter. So you're like, I want to get this many points, you know, in the chapter. And then it becomes, I guess, a replayability thing to come back through and say, hey, can I play through chapter 1 and do better and get more points? And there's rewards tied to that. And then there's kind of your overall, as you play the game, level. They call the fighter level. And this is that you're getting points through completing chapters and completing fights and what have you. And those level you up and then unlock more of the characters. So there's over 20 characters. The majority of them are Kirby's, but you do have a few others. When you're playing through the story mode, as I mentioned earlier, with the comeback mechanic with the ghost, you'll have a buddy with you, or you can co-op with 2 people through it. One of the things that I did like they added into kind of that progression of going up through the floors in the story mode, and what I think makes it feel like a little bit more compelling to potentially go back and play again, is that you get these items or power-ups that you can apply floor to floor in a chapter, and it gives you the opportunity to kind of tweak the abilities. So you can pick health ones to increase your health a lot, or attack ones, or charging, or you get more health from food and health items. Lots of different ways that you can kind of tweak. So in the earlier chapters, as I was still learning the game, maybe wasn't as good about what I was picking. But then by the later chapters, I definitely felt like I had a better understanding of that and I could better tweak, where sometimes you might have a couple floors or fights where you almost felt OP. So it was nice to be like, oh, I'm overpowered. And then you get to like a boss fight and be like, well, let me repeat this multiple times. So yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like Kirby Fighters 2 is a more accessible fighting game, probably good for kids in that, you know, typical you see kind of those third party usually games that are in that $15 to $25 range. So this fits in there and could be a stepping stone up to more dedicated Smash. I mean, when I sit down and think about it, like, I got through the story mode, I went through the 4 chapters that completed the like main portion of the story. Again, this is super short. It was a couple hours to do that. it didn't unlock all of the characters, but unlocked most of them. I think I still had three that still were open. And I think just overall, like for $20 value, there's a good amount in here, especially if it's something that you might play couch co-op with kids or friends, or that everybody wants to do something fun. Maybe you're not a big fighting game player, but it works to say, let's have, you know, maybe we're not willing to pay $60 for a Mortal Kombat or a Smash, but we're open to paying, you know, $15 to $20 and playing this goofy, you know, Kirby-based one. It's interesting because I definitely felt it sometimes that I wanted Kirby to act like Smash, but because of how they adjusted for this game, obviously Kirby is not exactly the same because you're dealing with a lot of Kirbys. So I would say overall, you can definitely get some good value out of this if you expect it's something that you would go in and play repeatedly, or even if you just want some light, like to feed your need to play a fighting game when you don't normally, and you want an hour here, an hour there. $20, it's not bad. If you're like a really dedicated fighting game fan, probably not as interesting. Not saying don't try it, but there's definitely a lot of things that probably will have much more variety than just Kirby's. Though I did enjoy playing with Meta Knight, but I found that it was interesting to try the different versions of Kirby because they definitely fit to specific styles of play. And I definitely did best with Sword, Meta Knight, the Parasol, the Umbrella, and a few of the others more than some of them. So I would say to round this all up, it's definitely a cute game. I didn't really run into bugs. It's well structured. It's not over the top for the $20 that you're playing, but I definitely wouldn't necessarily pick it as my first game to recommend to somebody playing a fighter unless they're looking for something that's really easy, entry level, feels more accessible to like a group or someone with kids. So all of that said and done, I can definitely say that Kirby Fighters 2 is not a bad game. You can get your money's worth out of it if you feel like you're going to play it a bit. But again, probably not the first one I'd recommend if somebody asked for one to play. So all of that said, you can absolutely check out Kirby Fighters 2 right now on the Nintendo Switch. It is out for anybody who's looking to get it. Thank you again to Nintendo for providing a review code. And once again, this is LadyLuck34. You can find me on Twitter or within the Gamertag Radio Discord. And have a good one. I'm out.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so thank you for listening to episode 1076. Again, this is your host, Danny Pena, and we'll be back next time with more content, more goodies here only on GTR. Until next time, take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.